Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Ayin Dalid. We are holding on daf Ayin Gimel and Beis. We are at Omar Rav Chama, Hayman Diyav Zuzi L'Chavre, about 10 lines from the end of the page. Last word on the line is Omar, which is the word we are up to. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadin for the success of Chal Yisrael in these times, and Atzacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the daf today is going to discuss what happens if you send a shliach to buy wine for you at a cheap price, and he didn't buy the wine. And now, by the time you're able to buy the wine yourself, the prices all went up. So what does that shliach owe you, if anything? So the Gemara is going to discuss that, and then the Gemara is going to discuss, what if I'm buying something for a group of people? I was sent to buy something for a group of people, but I only used one of their monies to buy something, and the rest of them I just didn't do anything with. So do we assume whatever I purchase is for the entire group, or do we assume whatever I purchased is for the guy whose money I used to buy the item for? The Gemara is going to discuss very briefly a kinyan called situmta, which is that which is convention, whatever people assume is a kinyan, even though it's not technically one of the kinyanim in the Torah. Then the Gemara is going to bring a machlokas amoraim, what stage of processing of produce is considered that the mocher already has the peiros in his rishus and therefore can accept prepayment. Meaning, remember that this is a very important klal that we've been working with for several dapim already, is that you're only allowed to accept prepayment and allowed to prepay for something if one of two things is true. Either the guy that's selling it already has the stuff and he's just not delivering it to you right now, or it's readily available. The Yatza Ashar, it's available in the Shuk. So what if he has the stuff, but it needs a lot more processing until it's actually ready to be delivered? So at what stage do we say it's considered that he has the stuff? So we're going to have a machlokas about that, and the Gemara is going to bring five rayas to one of the opinions in that machlokas. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, what do you need to have in hand to accept prepayment for a kli cheres, meaning how far along does the kli cheres have to be in order to accept prepayment for a kli cheres? Then the Gemara is going to discuss prepayment on something that the price went down, meaning, and it's going to bring a maisa related to that, meaning the reason normally someone will prepay for something is because he assumes he's locking himself in at the cheaper price, and then in a few months from now it's going to be more expensive, but because I prepaid for it, I'm getting it in at the cheaper price. What if it didn't work out that way and the price went down? So is he able to get it at the even lower price, at the newer even lower price? So we're going to have a machlokas about that. Then the Gemara is going to have ramifications of the machlokas, whether ma'os konos min ha-Torah, it's a machlokas tanoim, whether ma'os konos min ha-Torah or not. And then the Mishnah on the Amud Beis, on the bottom of Amud Beis, we're going to discuss an exception to the rule of sa'a b'sa'a. Normally there's an isser of ribis midrabanan if you do sa'a b'sa'a, if you exchange commodity for commodity. So I'm going to give you a pound of flour, 5 pound bag of flour today, and in a month from now you'll give me back a 5 pound bag of flour. That's the isser of sa'a b'sa'a. So the Mishnah is going to discuss an exception to that rule of sa'a b'sa'a. So let's begin 10 lines from the end of the page on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Rav Chama. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama, Hayman Diyav Zuzi L'Chavre, if someone gave money to his friend and he sent him L'Mizmen L'Chamra to go buy wine for him in a place where wine is sold for pretty cheap. And the point is, he's supposed to bring it back here, and over here it's expensive, so I'll be able to sell it. Over here, U'pasha V'lo Zavinlei, and the Shliach was Poshea, and he didn't buy any wine for me. So Mishalimlei, the Shliach has to pay me in wine, K'dkaz Al Parvas the Zul Shafat, as much wine as he could have purchased in Zul Shafat, which is a place where wine can be purchased for very cheap. So if he could have gotten, for the money that I gave him, 10 barrels of wine in a place where wine is very cheap, he needs to deliver me 10 barrels of wine, even though over here you can only get 8 barrels of wine for that amount of money. That is how Tosfos understands, that is how the Ritva understands, that is how Shita Mevetzes quotes Rabbeinu Yonasan, that he's got to deliver me wine for the price that he can get it for in Zul Shafat. The Ravid, and Zul Shafat is a place where wine is very cheap. The Ravid explains that no, Zul Shafat is a place where wine is very expensive, and he sent the Shliach to buy wine for him in a place that's cheap and to sell it in Zul shulchan. But the point was that he was supposed to sell it in a place that's very expensive. So the Gemara is telling him not that the Gemara is telling me not that he has to deliver me the amount of wine that he could have purchased in Zul Shavat, but the amount of money that he could have resold that wine for in Zul Shavat. That's what he has to. That's what he has to provide. So anyway, bottom line is the shliach didn't do his job, and therefore he's going to have to pay for that. So Amar Amema Amrita L'Shmaita Kamed Rav Zin Min Arda. So we said in front of we said this idea in front of Rav Zin Min Arda that Rav Chama is mechayev a shliach to pay the mishaleach based on what he could have purchased in the cheaper location. So Amar, so we said Rav Zin commented, Ki kam Rav Chama, when did Rav Chama say that it's on the shliach to pay for such things? Hani mili b'yayin stam. That's only if he sent his friend to buy yayin stam. He didn't say that he wants a particular wine. Aval b'yayin zeh, but if he sent him to buy yayin zeh, he particularly identified, I want white wine, I want a dry wine, I want this wine, I want. So lo, then the shliach is not going to have to pay the mishaleach whatever he could have, the amount of wine that he could have purchased in the place where wine is sold for cheap. Because it's not so clear that the shliach cost the mishaleach anything. After all, even if the shliach was not posheya, and he actually went and tried to find that wine and to buy that wine, he doesn't know that if it's a rare wine, he doesn't know that anybody would have been willing to sell it to him, that any would have been available for sale to begin with. And therefore, the shliach is not on the hook for that. So that's how Rav Zvid reacted to this teaching. Rav Ashi disagrees with Rav Chama entirely. Rav Ashi Amar, afilu yayin stam nami lo. And Rav Ashi says that even yayin stam, even if he just told him that just get any wine, still the shliach is not going to be on the hook for it. My taima asmachtehi. And the reason he's not going to be responsible, he's not going to have to pay, is because had he known that at the end of the day he's not going to buy wine, he never would have been mechayiv himself to deliver this much wine. Meaning he took the money, he said, I'll deliver you 10 barrels of wine. That's because he thought he was going to be able to buy 10 barrels of wine. He thought he would buy 10 barrels of wine. He didn't realize he was going to be lazy that day. He was going to sleep in. He wasn't going to get to the wine market. He wasn't going to... Had he realized that, he never would have made such an agreement. Vasmachta lo kanya. And any eschaivus that a person would not have entered into had he realized what was going to be. So it's not going to be a binding commitment. So Rav Ashi disagrees with Rav Chama entirely. Rav Chama says that the shliach is on the hook for the amount of wine that he was supposed to deliver. Rav Zvid qualified that and said he's only on the hook if it's Yayin Stam, not if it's Yayin Zeh. And Rav Ashi disagrees entirely, says he's not on the hook at all for the amount of wine that he was supposed to deliver, because the whole thing is a smachta. So says Gemara Rav Ashi, according to Rav Ashi, who holds that the whole hischaivus is not chal because it's only a smachta, Maishna mehadetnan, why is it any different than the Mishnah that says im over v'lo evid ashalim b'mitvah, a Mishnah that we're going to have later on Daf Kofdali, that a person is supposed to be a sharecropper on someone else's field, and he's supposed to give, let's say, half of the grain in the field that the field is going to produce to the owner of the field. And at the end of the day, the sharecropper just doesn't do anything on the field. He just leaves it fallow. He doesn't work on it at all. So we evaluate how much the field should have produced, and he gives half of what it should have produced to the owner of the field, because that's what he was really committing to. So we said that if he leaves the field imovir, if he leaves it bore, he leaves it totally empty, and he doesn't work on the field the way he's supposed to, he's going to pay based on the meitav, the best that the field could have produced. So you see that someone who's mechayiv himself to pay based on to pay someone else, so based on the hefsed that he caused him, if he doesn't work and he doesn't fulfill that tanai, it's not an asmachta. He's still on the hook. He's still got to pay for it. So the same over here. I was mechayiv myself to buy the wine. I didn't, just like the aris who left the field unworked. So he didn't, and therefore you still chayiv to pay. We don't say that that's an asmachta. So how come over there we don't say it's an asmachta? Over here, you Rav Ashi are saying that it's an asmachta. So answers the Gemara, there's a difference between the hischaivus of the aris to pay what the field is supposed to produce, and the hischaivus of a shliach to pay that which he didn't buy. Hasam biyada. When it comes to the arus, the ischaivus is not an asmachta because it's up to him to fulfill his end of the bargain. He's supposed to go to work. He's supposed to plow. He's supposed to plant. And therefore, he actually was intending having to be mechayiv himself in that because he knew that it's up to him to do it. But hachalav biyado, but over here that the shliach is being mechayiv based on the value of the wine in two locations, in the place where he's going to buy it for cheap and he's going to sell it for expensive, it's not really biyado at the time of the tonight to be mechayiv that which he's committing to, because it could be that people aren't going to be willing to sell it to him, and if he doesn't have the full gemiras das to be mechayiv himself in it, it's considered to be an asmachta. That's how the Rov Rishonim understand that line of Gemara. The Ramban and the Rashba say a little bit differently. They say that min adin, even this chayvus of the aris is really an asmachta. It is an asmachta. It's just that the chacham were mesakin that he's going to be chayiv anyway, even though it's an asmachta. And the Gemara's real kasha was, why weren't they mesakin over here also, like they were mesakin over there, that he'll be chayiv? So the Gemara's answer is that since it's biyado to be mekayim his chayvus, the chacham were mesakin that he's going to have to pay if he's not mekayim his chayvus, even though it's an asmachta. So that's the point, that when it's biyado, the enochinami, the whole thing's an asmachta, and he shouldn't have to pay at all. But the reason they're mechayiv him is that since it's biyado to fulfill, so then they're mechayiv him to pay, even that's what an asmachta, as opposed to over here where it's not really biyado, so the chum we're not mesakin. Okay, so this says the Gemara Vayter now. Amar Rava, Hani Beit Chlasa, Diavi Zuzei Lechad, the Mizman Lumidi. Three people give money to one guy, to one shliach, to buy something for them that they're going to use, you know, merchandise that they'll use in business. Zavin Lechad, now he went and he bought on behalf of one of the people that sent him, not all three. So Zavin Lekulu, the halacha is, all of them are shutfim in whatever it is that he bought. Velo Amaran, Ela, Delotzar V'chasam Inishinish Lechudei. But we only say that he purchased really for all three of them, if all three just gave the money all mixed together. But if each of the three people bundled the money separately and gave him a separate bundle of money that he kept separate, and he only used one of their bundles of money, so then then he only purchased for the guy whose money he used, and he did not purchase for the guys whose money he did not use, and they don't get anything. Now the Amr of Papi Mishrei de Rava, of Papi teaches us in the name of Rava, a little bit of background. It used to be that when Chenveni would buy a whole bunch of wine to sell in his store, so he'd buy from his supplier of wine, the guy who has the supplies of wine, the guy who has the wine press, has a whole warehouse full of barrels of wine. So Chenveni would say, okay, I'm ordering 100 barrels of you. I don't have a place to keep 100 barrels in my store. I'll take a couple at a time. So how do I know which 100 barrels of mine are mine? So I'll go around your warehouse, I'll mark off 100, you know, I'll put my sticker on 100 of the barrels that are in your warehouse, and then whenever I need it, I'll come and I'll take. But it's my wine, you're keeping it in your warehouse, I'm going to come pick it up as needed. I never did a hagbah on that wine, I never did a meshicha on that wine, I just slapped my seal on that wine. That's all I did to mark it as mine. So I never did a real kinyan on that wine. So Amra Papi Mishmei Durava, Hai Situmta Kanya. Situmta literally over here means, the way it's understood by Rashi at least, is the chosam that I put on the wine that I purchased, that's considered a kinyan. And the guy who's selling me the wine is not able to back out on the mechira, even though I never really did a kinyan on it. Now, Hamzi Rabbeinu Chananel says the more conventional understanding of Situmta, which is that it's the minik hasochrin, that at the end of Mekach, it's Tokea Kapo Lekaf Chavero, they do a handshake, and a handshake symbolizes a kinyan. Right, that's one of the kinyanim we do. It's two of the kinyanim we do, actually, with mechiras chametz, a situmta, to make sure we do a handshake. One of the rabbanim called me this year and asked me if there's any problem using a female non-Jew to sell the chametz to. I said, we'll make for an awkward situmta, right? Because the two of the kinyanim are a handshake. So you can have all the rabbis that are there doing the mechira having to shake the woman's hand. He said, I did not think of that. But other than that, I mean, she's allowed to buy chametz, but this situmta is going to be kona, even though you didn't actually do a real kinyan. So the ma'ihil chasa, what do we assume? The gabe, what halacha do we assume that the chenveni has purchased these barrels? Meaning, do we view it as a real, full-fledged kinyan? So Rav Chavim Amar, yes, l'mikni amamish. It's an absolute kinyan. Neither party is allowed to back out. It has nothing to do just with, you know, are you a bad guy for backing out? Are we upsetting? No, it's a kinyan. It's stealing if you back out. You're not allowed to back out. Rabbanan Amri and the Rabbanan say, l'kabuli alei mishapara. No, it's not a real kinyan. The Situmta makes makes it that if someone were to try to back out, he'd be mekabel a curse of a misha parah. The misha parah man shidar mabul man shidar flaga who you parah from someone who's not mekayim diburo, that it's considered to be that you gave your final word and therefore you're not supposed to back out of such things. Vehilchsa, and the halacha is that misitumta is not a kinyan; it's only the kabul le misha parah. But in certain places where the minig is that they do a situmta so that the as a form of actual kinyan, then it works as a real kinyan, and neither of them is allowed to back out, because once they were knowing to treat it like a kinyan, it's considered an absolute gemiras das from the mocher and from the kona to make a kinyan happen, and therefore once the kinyan is all about an expression of das. So once you did an action that expresses a full gemiras das of both parties, so then it's going to be a binding kinyan. So it's stam, a handshake, is not going to be a kinyan, but it's only going to be the kabbalah mishapara. But if it's a place where the minig is that we treat it like a full kinyan, yeah, then it's a full kinyan. So the Mishnah said, hayuhu tchila l'kotzrim, that if the mocher has peros in his rishus, even though he's the tchila l'kotzrim, he didn't do the gemar melacha yet on these peros, they have not yet been fully processed, so they're not ready for sale yet, still you're allowed to accept prepayment for those peros. So the Gemara discusses how unprocessed can they be where you're already allowed to accept prepayment. Again, the premise is I'm allowed to accept prepayment when either I have the stuff in hand, I'm just not delivering it till later, or it's readily available in the shuk. So the Mishnah was talking about a case where it's not readily available in the shuk. I was the tchila l'kotzrim. I'm the first one to the market, but even my stuff is not market ready yet. So at what point can I accept prepayment? So I'm a rav, mechusar shtayim posek, shalosh eno posek. If it only needs two more things to be done with it, then it's considered that I already have it in hand. But if it's three steps removed from market, then I don't have it in hand. Ushmuel Amr Shmuel says, nothing to do with how many steps. Bidei Adam Afilumeya. If it's all up to me to get it ready for market, even if there are 100 steps, but it's up to me, I don't have to rely on an act of God to make it happen, so then I'm already allowed to accept prepayment. So Afilumeya Posek. But Bidei Shamayim Afiluachas Eino Posek. If it's something that I'm going to have to rely on, something that's beyond my control, an act of God to make it happen, I need a few sunny days before I'm able to bring this this product to market, because that's just how it's going to need to dry or whatever. So then it's not up to me. So then eno posek. Then I'm not able to accept prepayment. So Gemara is going to bring five rayos against Rav, where Rav made it all about the number of steps that we are removed from the from bringing it to market. So Tana and Raya, number one, we learned in our Mishnah, posek imal gadish, you're allowed to prepay for grain, even though it's only on the gadish, so it's missing the threshing that it needs, to ask the Gemara, v'hamachusar, but it's missing a whole bunch of things. It's missing mishta b'chama to spread it out in the sun, and the mevash, and to dry it out, for spreading it out, and then letting it dry in the sun. That's two steps. U'lemeidash, and to thresh the tavua, u'midra, and to winnow it, we're using the wind to remove the schmutz from the that which is usable. So why does the Mishnah say you're allowed to accept prepayment? That's four steps that it's missing. So it says Gemara, we're talking about it was already put out in the sun and it was already dried, and therefore it's only missing two steps. And Rav says if it's missing two steps, that's perfectly fine. According to Shmuel, who says that if you need an act of God to make it work, then you cannot accept prepayment yet. But don't you need wind in order to winnow? I mean, you throw it up in the air and the wind comes and blows it, and it so the psalus blows away, and whatever you're going to keep comes back down. So you need God to do something. So Afshar ben Avasa. Now you could use a fan also, meaning there are ways to get around that. So since it's possible to do that without the wind, it's still considered to be bidei Adam. Challenge number two to Rav. We said vala avit shala navin, that you're allowed to accept prepayment for the wine that you're going to sell, even though it's still just in the barrel of grapes or the bowl of grapes. But isn't it missing four different malachim? halachos. One, michmar, that the grapes have to heat up in the ovit. Two, vayulu bematzarta, you have to put them into the wine press. Three, lemedash, you have to press them in order to squeeze the wine out. And four, lemingad, you have to pull the wine from the wine press to the bar that it goes into at the bottom of the wine press. So it's missing four different steps, and according to Rav, that's not considered ready for market. So you should not be allowed to accept prepayments. Well, just like Rabbi Chiya answers when it comes to olives, which is going to be our next challenge on Rav, that alakomer shel zaysim, that it's already been the olives have already been heated in the bowl. So chanami over here also we could say by the grapes, alakomer shel anavim, that it's already passed the first step. Says Gemara, yeah, but we were four steps short. So if you take away one of the steps, we're still three steps short. And according to Rav, three steps is not good enough. V'amuchus tlas, it's still missing three steps. So Basi Dehudzavin, who the nugget? No, we're assuming that the minig is that the guy who buys the wine is the one that pulls the wine from the gas to the bar. So that last step is not actually done by the seller, it's done by the buyer. So as far as being available, ready to sell, it's only missing two steps, because we cut out the first step, we said that was already done, and we cut out the last step, because that's going to be the buyer's responsibility to do. So you only have the middle two steps, and if it's mechus or shtayim, according to Rav, that's perfectly fine. Third challenge on Rav, v'alamaton shel zesim, we said to sell olives that are not yet processed, v'hamechusar, but this is going to be missing four steps. Michmar, to heat up the olives, ayulu beidapi, to put it into the olive press, lemeidash, to actually press them in the olive press, ulemingad, and to pull out the oil to the bar that it gathers in. So Tanya Bechia, al komer shel zeisim. We're talking about a case that it's already been heated up and it's therefore ready to be brought to the Beis Habad for pressing. Ay, vayikatlas, that only knocks out the first one of the four steps. There's still three more. Basadu dezabin, hum menagid, that the same answer we gave before. We're talking about a place where the guy who buys it is the one that's responsible for the fourth step, and therefore if you knock out step one and you knock out step four, you only have steps two and three, and if it's missing two steps, that's perfectly fine according to Rav. Vala beitzim shel yotzer, and then we said the beitzim of the yotzer, of a guy who's a potter. Amai, why is it mutter to be posek on kederos of cheres when they are just, you know, bait, they look like an egg, they're just a bundle of clay, right, that it hasn't been formed into a pot or anything yet. So isn't it missing a whole bunch of things? V'mechusar, it is missing five steps, lefufe, to roll out the clay based on the measurement that you want the clay to be, via bushe, and to dry it, ayuli la'atuna, and to put it into the kivshan, lemisraf, to actually harden it in the kivshan until it becomes cheres, ula mepak, and to take it out of the kivshan. So those are five different steps. So says Gemara, no, we're talking about a case, kigon demalafaf of yabishu, that it's already been rolled out, and you already made it into a tzura of a kli, and it already dried up based on that tzura. So says Gemara, okay, so you knocked out two of the five steps, v'yikatlas, but you still have three more steps to go, and Rav said you could only be missing two of the steps. So ba'asra du'udazavin u'damasik, we're talking about a place where the minig is that the guy who buys it is the one that takes it out of the kivshan, and therefore that knocks out the last step, so we only have steps three and four that are missing, and therefore it's considered ready to market. V'alasid mishe yishakenu b'kivshan, this is challenge number five to Rav. Why does the Mishnah allow prepaying for seed, even though it's not ready for mechira until it goes through the kivshan? V'mechusar, it's missing three malachos. Mikla, to burn the avnei hasid in the fire. V'afuke, and to take those burnt avanim out of the fire. Umeidak, and then to crush it up, crush those stones up into a fine dust. So the Gemara answers, Baso du dezavin udayuk. We're talking about a case where the guy who buys it is the one that's responsible for grinding it up into a dust. So the Shmuel da Amar, according to Shmuel, who says, Bidei Adam, afilu mea posek, lamali mishe shaken b'kivshan. According to Shmuel, who says that it could be missing 100 steps, as long as they're all up to you to do, and you don't need an act of God to make them happen, why does the Mishnah have to say that you're not allowed to be posek on the sin until yishakenu b'kivshan? Even putting the avanim into the kivshan is something that's Bidei Adam. So Shmuel should not require that, as long as it's up to you to do. It could be even before that stage. So says Gemara, Ema, the Mishnah is talking about not that you're not allowed to accept payment until Yishakenu B'Kivshon Mamish, it means Mishum Ra'ui L'Shakal B'Kivshon, that as soon as it's ready to the fact that you have wood ready to burn in the Kivshon, and the Avanim are there ready to go into the Kivshon, so it's only missing the Malachos that are up to you to do, so then you could be Posek. But prior to having everything ready, so that may not be up to you to be able to have available firewood and all the other stuff that you're going to need. So that's when you're not able to accept prepayment yet. So those are the five challenges to Rav and how we answer all five challenges. Now going back to what the Mishnah said, Vala Beitzim Shel Yotzer. So he spoke about accepting prepayment for the clumps of clay from which they're going to make Kli Cheres. So Tan Rabbanan, Ein Poskim Ala Beitzim Shel Yotzer. You're not allowed to accept prepayment for these Beitzim Shel Yotzer to make Kli Cheres Ad Sheyasu, until they're made from the Afra. But if they still, the Yotzer hasn't yet made them into the shape of eggs, even though you have the Afar and you're able to make them into the shape of eggs, you're not allowed to be posek to accept prepayment for Kli Cheres at the current price right now. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bamedvar, when do we say that you're not allowed to accept prepayment for Kli Cheres when all you've got is Afar? That's Ba'afar Lavan. That's in a case where it's Afar Lavan, that since the Afar is not so easily found, it's not considered that you have it unless you already have the Beitzim that are made from that Afar. Aval Ba'afar Shachar Kigon Kfar Chananya V'Chavroseha. But if the Kelim are meant to be made out of Afar Shachar, like they do in Kfar Chananya and such surrounding villages, Kfar Shichin V'Chavroseha, then Poskin. Then even if you haven't formed them into Beitzim, you're already allowed to accept prepayment, even if you don't even have the offer yet. Because the offer shachar is very easy to come by. So if you don't have it yet, it's still considered just very easily available, so you can produce it in short order. A Memer Yov Zuzeh, a Memer would give money and prepaid for Klei Cheres that are made out of offer shachar, Mikima'eli Afra, from the time that the people who make these Klei Cheres had the offer in their Rishus, even though they did not yet form them into the Beitzim, which are going to be the basic material from which they're going to shape the kli. So Kaman, which of the Tanaim is Amemar holding like? Meaning he required that they have the Afar Shachar already. He didn't say, Afar Shachar is readily available, so even if they don't have it, so he required that they have it already. But he did not require that they already form it into the shape of a Beitza yet. So who's he assuming like? Ik Rabbi Meir, if he wants to pass on like Rabbi Meir, so Amar Acheyasu, Rabbi Meir says, no, you have to actually produce the Beitzim, the form of the Beitzim. Ik Rabbi Yossi, and if he's assuming like Rabbi Yossi, Amar Afkishen Lezei Yesh Lezeh, Rabbi Yossi holds, no, you don't even need to have the offer on hand yet. So he's sort of landing somewhere in the middle. So says Mar Liolam Rabbi Yossi, he's really assuming like Rabbi Yossi that you're allowed to prepay even before the guy has the offer. Why did he wait to prepay until the guy had the offer? In the place of a memer, it was very expensive and not easily available, not readily available. So therefore, idma eli afra, if he already had the afra, some chadaite, then everyone knew that it was totally biyado that the guy was going to be able to produce the kelim that he is committing to produce. Viavlu zuze, and therefore a memer prepays for it. But vilo, if the guy doesn't have the afra yet, since where a memer lived, this afra shachar was not so readily available, lo some chadaite, there's no smicha that the guy's actually going to be able to deliver on it, and therefore you're not allowed to prepay for such things. So a lot of this is dependent on the metzius of the location. So it's not just a blanket rule that Afar Shachar is automatically okay, because it's not always readily available. I don't know where to buy Afar Shachar, but in the places where it's readily available, then the guy doesn't have to have it if you assume like Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Then the Mishnah said that you could prepay for Zevel throughout the year, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, only if you have Zevel in your Ashpa ready to go. Only then can you accept prepayment. But the Chum said, it's Mutter. So that was a funny line of the Mishnah, because the Tanakhama says, you're allowed to accept prepayment. Rabbi Yossi says, no. And the Chum say, yes. So what's the difference between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim? So Chachamim, Hainu Tanakhama. It seems that we're presenting three different Shittos, but there are only two opinions. So how can you have three names and two opinions? So answer Gemara, Amar Rava, Yemos HaGeshamim Ika Benayu. The Tanakhama and the Chachamim are actually two different opinions. They're arguing about being prepaying for Zevel in Yemos HaGeshamim. And there are three Shittos in the Mishnah. Tanakama, a allows prepaying for Zevel throughout the entire year, even during the winter time, where Zevel is not readily available by people. Rabbi Yossi says, no, even in the summertime, you're not allowed to prepay for Zevel unless the guy actually has it in stock. And the Chacham allow prepaying for Zevel in the summertime, Dafka, because in the summertime, everyone's got Zevel in stock, because it's the psoldas that you took out from the field has already turned into Zevel, it's turned into manure. But in Yemos HaGeshamim, they're modet Rabbi Yossi that you're not allowed to accept prepayment for Zevel. So that's the three shitos. Now, Upos Gimok Shara Gavoa, we said in the Mishnah, now, whenever you prepay for peros, whenever it's mutter to prepay for peros, which is another way of saying either it's readily available in the market or you already have the peros, so you're allowed to make the deal that if it were to go down in price by the time delivery comes, by the time the expected date of delivery comes, that you'll then give it to him for that cheaper price. Meaning, the reason he's prepaying is because he's anticipating it's going to go up in price, so he's locking himself in at today's price. So he's paying on January 1st $100 for the order because he assumes that by April 1st it's going to be $150. But if it were to go down to $50 by April 1st, you're allowed to make the deal that he'll be able to buy it at a $50 price and not at the $100 price. The only machlokas is that the Tanakhama holds, you need to say that. If you want to be able to lock in the cheaper price, that has to be stated beferish at the time that we make the deal. And if you don't say it stated beferish, you will not be able to get the cheaper price. You'll only get the price you locked in on January 1st. But Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you didn't say it beferish, everyone understands that you're only locking in because you think it's going to go up, but if it goes down, so then you'll buy it at whatever price it's going to be. So Poskimok Shara Gavos, the Gemara brings a Maisa where of Papa of Paschal like the Tanakamba. Who gavred the Avzuze Linudunya Debe Chamua? A person gave money to the people who sold jewelry that girls would typically bring as part of the Nadunya that they'll deliver it to the father-in-law's house on a particular later date. Lesof, when the day of delivering the jewelry came, Zal Nadunya, the jewelry was worth less, and they were worth less, and therefore the buyer wanted to back out on the Mekach because his father-in-law didn't want to buy these Tachshitim for the price that he had locked in. He locked in a price that's much higher than today's price, and the Mocher wanted to keep the price that they had locked in because it was more expensive. So also the Kamed Rav Papa, they asked Rav Papa if he's allowed to be Choser. So Amar Leis, so Rav Papa said, if initially you made the deal with him that if it goes down in value, they're going to pay kishara gavoa, you're going to pay the cheaper price, shakel kashta, then you're allowed to receive it based on today's cheaper price. But vilo, if you never actually made such a deal, you never expressed that, shakel kimei kara, then you're going to have to take the takshitim based on whatever price you locked in, even though it's more expensive, and you're not allowed to ask the guy to give it to you for the cheaper price. Meaning, like the Tanakama against Rabbi Yehuda, right, that it has to be stated explicitly. So Amar Le Rabbanan Rav Papa, the Rabbanan said to Rav Papa, V'ilo pasuk shakel kimei ikara, and if they didn't make such a deal, he's going to have to take kimei ikara, he's going to have to take based on the price that they locked in, he's not allowed to be chozer. Why can't he be chozer? Mos ninhu, all he ever did was give money. Umos lo kanu, the halacha is, money is not kona metaltalin. We know to be kona karka, kesef, shtar, chazaka, but to be kona metaltalin, meshicha, hagbah, there's no mos, is not kona metaltalin, so there's no kinyan over here. So Amar Rav Papa said, anonami le kabule ale mishapara kamina. I know there's no kinyan, but there's a mishapara, meaning when you pay money, you're showing that you are fully committed, and because you're fully committed, it's considered that you're backing out on your word, and therefore there's a curse associated with backing out on your word. So it's not about whether there was a kinyan, it's about whether you're a trustworthy person and whether you deserve a mishapara. So that's all I meant, that it's mishapara, and therefore I said, ipasuk b'shar gavoa, if initially they made the deal that he can get it for the cheaper price, if it goes down in price, so mocher kadrebe, the mocher can back out because that was the deal. Mekabel alei mocher, because they made a deal that if it goes down, you're going to get it for the cheaper price. So mekabel alei mocher mishapara. Then the mocher is going to get a mishapara. Ilo pasak, and if they did not make this deal, so it turns out the lokeach has to take the tachshitim at the price that they locked in and not at the current cheaper price, and therefore lokech kahadar be makabel lokech mishapara. The lokech, if he tries to back out, would be the one receiving the mishapara. So it all depends. Meaning, the question is not about kinyan. The question is who's going to be cursed for trying to back out. Who's on the losing end of this arrangement? So that's all I meant to say, says Rav Papa. Now we had a machlokas in the Mishnah back on Daf Mem Dalid about kinyan, about whether kesef is kona, whether ma'us is konos or not. It was a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. The Chacham said ma'us is not konos b'metaltalim at all. So if a lokeach gives money for a particular item and that it's in the rishus of the mocher, but he doesn't do a meshicha, he doesn't do agbah, he is not the owner of that item. And either the mocher or the lokeach is allowed to back out of the deal. It's just that there's going to be a mishapara, but technically there's no kinyan. Whereas Rabbi Shimon said, no, minatorah, ma'os is konos. And even the chachamim only take away the kinyan of ma'os when it comes to the mocher, that the mocher is able to be chozer even though he already received the money. But a lokeach is never allowed to be chozer on a kinyan that he did with ma'os, because when it comes to the lokeach, we kept the dinah midaraisa that ma'os is konos. Right? Remember, that was the shita that said that the reason we said ma'os is not konos for the mocher, for the seller, and that the seller is able to back out, because he could say, oh, you already own this because you already paid for it, so if my whole warehouse of the stuff goes on fire, it's yours, it's not going to bother me. So that's why we said, no, it still might be yours, and therefore you're motivated to save it from a fire. So Amrli Ravina Rav Papa. So Ravina says to Rav Papa, from the fact that you paskin like the Tanakama, that you, the lokeach has to make a tanai with the mocher, that if the prices go down, then he'll be able to buy it for the cheaper price. But if he doesn't make that tanai beferish, then he can't buy it for the cheaper price. So it must be that you assume that the Tanakama is the shita of the Rabbim, for who we paskin like, against Rabbi Yehuda, who's the Yachid. But in my Rabbanu de Pligilei de Rabbi Shimon, how do I know that the Tanakama says that you need to make this explicit tonight is the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, Da'amri Ma'us Lo Kanu, who say that money is not a kinyan at all, and even the Lokeach is able to be Chozer. It's just that the guy is Mekabel Mishapara, Vafilu Hachi, and still the Tanakam is going to say that if it goes down in value, I Pasa Keshar Gova Shakal Kedahashta, that if we set the price at a cheap price, then he'll take it at today's cheap price, be low pasuk, but if we didn't make a deal initially that I'll be able to buy it at a cheap price, if it goes down shakal kedmei kara, then I'm stuck with the price that we locked in. Dilma Rabbi Shimoni to Amr Ma'os Konos. Maybe the Tanakama's going like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that Ma'os is Konos, and the Chachamim were not mafkia Ma'os Konos from the Lokeach, only from the Mocher. V'chi pasuk kishar gavah shakal kiyashta, and therefore if initially they made a deal that he'll be able to buy it at the cheaper price than it is today, so he could buy it in the low pasuk shakal meikara. And if they didn't make the deal, then he'll have to buy it based on the price they locked in. Why? Mishum dekani luzuze, because he already was kona by giving the money. So since the stuff already belongs to the lokeach, because he already paid the money, so even though there's an umdana that the lokeach paid the money initially al das to be able to buy it for the cheaper price, an umdana is not mevatel, a real kinyan. Maybe that's why it's only if they explicitly made the deal can he buy it at today's cheaper price. But if they didn't explicitly say that I should be able to buy it at today's cheaper price, then you can't, because Moses is really Konos, it really belongs to the Lokech. So don't give me an umdana that, yeah, but we assume he really meant that he'd be able to buy it at today's cheaper price. But according to the Rabbanu, then it doesn't belong to the Lokech. Moses is not Konos. Maybe the Rabbanu would say, Bein Pasuk, Bein Lo Pasuk, Shokol Kiyashta, that whether they made the explicit deal or not, he's only going to... He'll be allowed to, the lokeach will be allowed to buy it at today's cheaper price. Because obviously that was his das, to be able to get the best possible deal. And we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So if the Rabbanan and our Mishnah are assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon the Ma'os Konos, and that's why they say it matters whether you explicitly made the deal to be able to buy it at a future cheaper price or not. But according to the Rabban of the world, that Ma'os is not Konos, then you don't have to explicitly make the deal. So why are you paskening that you have to explicitly make the deal? Samlei, so if Papa responds to Ravina, no, the Tanakama in our Mishnah is not assuming, like Rabbi Shimon, that Ma'os is really Konos. Emor Dom Rabbi Shimon, Bechatara, because when does Rabbi Shimon say Ma'os is Konos and Lokeach cannot be Chozer? That's only when the price didn't change from the time of the giving of the money until the guy wanted it back out. But Betray Tari, Mi Amar, even Rabbi Shimon didn't say that Ma'os is Konos if the whole price changed from the time that he gave the money, that the Lokeach can't back out. In such case, Rabbi Shimon is going to be Modded to the Chamim that the Lokeach could back out as well. And even though he's able to be Chozer, the Mishnah says that he's only able to buy it at the cheaper price if they made an explicit condition, right? Why is that? Because otherwise he's going to get a mishapara. Not because it's a real kinyan, but he's going to get a mishapara. So the Gemara brings a raya that if he gave the money with the assumption that he's going to receive whatever he's going to receive at a later date, and then it went down in price, that Rabbi Shimon is moda, the lokech can back out from the kinyan. It's not a real binding kinyan. Because if you're not going to say this, mishapara b'lokech, Rabbi Shimon that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not shaykh that the lokech is ever going to receive a mishapara, because if he gave money, he's never going to be able to be chozer at all. Meaning mishapara, to be makabel mishapara assumes that technically you can be chozer, and it's just you're going to get a curse for being chozer. But according to Rabbi Shimon, you're going to tell me that whenever he gave money, the kinyan is final and he can't be chozer at all, then you never get to the stage of mishapara. So you mean to tell me that there's no mishapara on the side of the lokeach, according to Rabbi Shimon, because as soon as he gave money, that's it? The chitam achinam, maybe say, okay, so there's no mishapara. Who says there has to be mishapara? No, because Vatanya, we have a baisa that Rabbi Shimon says explicitly that there is, that... Mikol makom kach halacha, that if a guy backs out, Bezin can't stop him if there was no kinyan. Avalam chum mishapar, but the chum say mishapar manchidar mav manchidar flag manchistom amora mitzrayim biyam is going to be pareah from someone who's not only bidiburo. My mikol makom. What's Rabbi Shimon being coming to include when he says mikol makom? Lav deloshen lokeach loshen makom rekal velem mishapara. Isn't he telling me that both the mocher and the lokeach can receive mishapara? Ella ki kam Rabbi Shimon bechatar betreitari lo amar. So I must be correct that Rabbi Shimon only holds that Moses is Konos if the price stayed the same. But if the price went down, then he would not say that Moses is Konos. Amalei Ravach b'Reid Rav Ravashi, why does Rav Papa Paskin that the chassan who gave money for the nedunya of the father-in-law is not allowed to be chozer on it when it goes down, when the tachshitim go down, unless he's mekabel mishapara? V'tepikle d'shliach shavi meikara. Why don't we say that the chassan is not mechayev mishapara because the father-in-law only made him a shliach to purchase these items for him, and since the father-in-law backed out and he doesn't want to purchase these items at the more expensive price, what's he supposed to do? So he was a shliach and he can't fulfill the shlichus. So Amalei B'Tagra D'Zavnu Mazbin. Ravashi says back that the mice with the chassan was not that he was a shliach of the father-in-law, but rather the chassan was the merchant and the father-in-law made a deal to sell him the nedunya, and he went and he arranged prices with sellers to buy from them almanas to go back and resell it to the father-in-law and to make some money off of it. So even though the father-in-law backed out from that which he agreed to, he's not allowed to be chozer from that which he arranged with the mochrim. And if he is chozer, then he's going to be chayvei mishapara. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Dalit Amud Beis. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good day.